terrible Rang Hasam, whose velocity Nirvarayam Asu, they forbade. Aho, O Mahamate, O great soul, Na, not Ujjayate, is worthy for you, Atra, in this sacrificial arena. Anya, others, Vadha, killing, Prachoditat, from being so described in the scriptures. Translation, when the priests and all the others saw Maharaj Prithu very angry and prepared to kill Indra, they requested him, O great soul, do not kill him, for only sacrificial animals can be killed in sacrifice. Such are the directions given by Shastra. Please repeat responsibly. When the priests and all the others saw Maharaj Prithu very angry and prepared to kill Indra, they requested him, O great soul, do not kill him, for only sacrificial animals can be killed in the sacrifice. Such are the directions given by Shastra. So purport, those loving divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Animal killing is inherent and intended for different purposes. It tests the proper pronunciation of Vedic mantras, and an animal being put into the sacrificial fire should come out with a new life. No one should ever be killed in a sacrifice meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. How then could Indra be killed when he is actually worshipped in the Yajna and accepted as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, the priests requested King Prithu not to kill him. When the priests and all the others saw Maharaj Prithu very angry and prepared to kill Indra, they requested him, O great soul, do not kill him, for only sacrificial animals can be killed in a sacrifice. Such are the directions given by Shastra. Om Agnyatimi Rangyasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master has very kindly come, and he's forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaka. So, respective Vaishnavas, Mumbai is a very fascinating place. There's many cultured people here. I come from the wild side. Actually, I've been on board Srila Prabhupada's ship. If you get on board that boat, then regardless of where you come from, then the destination is there. If you're on board the boat, regardless of your nature and how you began the race, then it's not how we begin the race, it's how we end the race. And Srila Prabhupada is steering us towards Golok Vrindavan. So, I'm just a rat on the ship. Actually, there's a story, isn't it, by a rat whose whiskers, one ghee lamp is about to collapse through shortage of ghee, or the wick is about finished. And that rat, he comes along the altar, and his whiskers, they touch the flame, and whoosh, he goes, his whiskers go on fire. And in such a way, he lights up the deity, that, and everybody's able to see for a brief moment Krishna. So even though we may come from a fallen background, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, may I be useful like a rat. I hope my whiskers will catch on fire and I can give you some information about Krishna. So I know there's some older Vaishnavas here than me. Just offer my respects to them and pray that they may give me their grace and mercy. Devotee's been serving here for a long time. I'm a new boy on the block. So Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Savabhutaram Gatvamam Samtam Richiti. This verse from Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, Prabhupada called the peace formula. By practicing the purpose of yajna is to Savaloka Maheshwaram, is to be performed by the living entities for the benefit of all the planets and all the demigods. Suridam Savabhutanam. Suridam, Surit means friend. He's the best well-wisher of all living entities. Suridam Savabhutanam. Gatvam and Samtam. Richiti, Shantam, peace. If one is able to give everything of one's energy in the service, this is the purpose of yajna, is to give to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Bhagawan. So this is a peace formula, and if it's not practiced, if we remove Krishna from the center of this sacrifice, Bhaktaram Jagya Tapasam, if we remove this, the purpose for our performing austerities and tapas, if we remove Krishna from the center, then there's no peace there. Peace gets removed from the scene. So this is a very instructive verse for us all. Because we all forced to address this enemy in the form of lust in the heart. This basic principle of matsarya, envy, it's coming from kama esha, krodha esha, raja gunama samudbhava. It is lust and lust only, Arjuna. What is it that causes a man to act beyond his will? This is the question Arjuna has. He may have knowledge, we may have jnan. That may be there, you can read the books. It's all available, that knowledge. But Bhagavad Gita also gives us information that to practice that is not easy. Chandakya Pandit, he says, greater than ignorance is knowledge. Greater than ignorance is knowledge. And then greater than knowledge is remembrance of knowledge. Smaran, to remember that knowledge. And then greater than remembrance of knowledge is realization, vigyan means realization upon the knowledge. But then there's something even greater than that, and Chanakya Pandit gives us that information. It's the man who acts upon that knowledge, a man who acts upon that knowledge. So jnana is one thing, we can read so many times, but for us in Kali Yuga, most of us have to experience. Three classes of learning Srila Prabhupada gave. First class, he is told, and even beyond that, one may not even be told, he can anticipate the desire of the spiritual master. And he acts. That's a first class disciple. He may even anticipate what is Krishna desires and what the spiritual master desires. By his knowledge, then he's able to anticipate and make a decision, or he can, at best, he's told once, not told, or he may be told once. And the second class man, he tries like the fire. We can hear fire is hot, and we don't touch. That's the first class. Very, I don't know, in Kali Yuga, maybe some souls, but generally I had to learn this vigyan by hearing that the fire is hot, and then putting the hand in there. Oh, You tell the child, you know, the fire is hot, and he's thinking, well, is it hot or is it not? This is our nature, isn't it? We are disbelieving, short-lived, unintelligent beings in this age of Kali. So we generally got to touch the fire and oh, that's hot. And of course, third class Prabhupada gives us one who learns that the fire is hot and he tries again. Oh, then again and again. So that may bring a smile to our face, thinking, oh, I'm not one of those. And if we're laughing or smiling, then actually we're finding some humor in our own nature. Because again and again, we have to take birth in this world because we haven't learned. Was it in Srila Prabhupada's own life? The fan is also the story of the fan. Was that Srila Prabhupada's life, I think, wasn't it? His father said not to touch the fan. Is that correct? The fan. And then after some time of saying, then, this is from his Leelamrita thing, then he still wanted to touch. So his father allowed him to touch the fan. He put the finger in the fan. Oh! Yes. So this process of learning is very, it works. And thank God for that. Thank Krishna for that. Because we should learn the intelligence not to take up this samsara anymore. And the root cause of that is our lust. Kama, asha, krodha, asha. Yeah. Lust, anger, greed. These are three ropes which bind the living entity to this world. And we see in this very explicit pastime of Lord Indra, so many lessons, wonderful lessons are there. And from it originates the cheating propensity of this Kaitava Dham, the cheating propensity in this age of Kali to take up the pratishta, the becoming the center of attention, of wanting to become important, of wanting to become leader, of wanting to gain profit, adoration and distinction. And this is a subtle form of sex life. We have the gross form of sex life as the topmost pleasure in this world. But if we stop that and check that, then quite often this other propensity comes up. Wanting to be profit, wanting some profit, wanting some adoration, wanting some distinction, especially for those of us in a Purusha Bhav, those of us who are thinking we like to be Krishna, Adi Purush, he's the only Purusha. And those of us in masculine form, we often take shelter of looking for power, profit, adoration and distinction. One's a big businessman, he does well, earns a lot of money, he gets some prestige. One may want to be seen as a good leader, even a philanthropic person, want to save the poor or the old, like that. But primarily behind the desire is a subtle sex life, this kama, wanting to be seen as the center of enjoyment. So it's a very interesting principle in the age of Kali. But what is seen as to be a big man, to be a big personality, that's the top of the pile, isn't it? To get to the top, people push others out of the way, they step on their head. And this principle of Matsarya, envy, this root coming from lust, this envy of having someone more exalted, further up the pile than us. We want to remove that person from the post. We want to reduce that person's adoration. We want to take away their distinction. This is material life. But the devotee's life or spiritual life is the direct opposite. One who's a small man, one who's das anudas anudas, he is the greatest man. In the material life, the greatest man, he's the greatest man. But in spiritual life, the opposite. Trinadapi sinichene, parodapi sinishiva. That to be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree. This was the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And they genuinely thought themselves of not having any qualities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in terms of association, he says, I would rather be born as an insect in the house of a Vaishnava than to take association of materialistically minded souls, or to be born in a situation where there's no Vaishnava culture. So Putana, in the killing of demons, Putana represents the false guru. There is something like 21 I think it is, different, two forest fires, I believe. But each one of those demons that Krishna kills, they represent these anattas inside our heart. So by reading Krishna book, by reading stories of Krishna's pastimes in Bal Leela, then we systematically, we root out these things in the heart. Lust, greed, anger, avarice, by hearing the killing of those demons. So Putana is one of the early demons that are killed. And she represents a false teacher. You know, she comes in. Actually, she first enters Vrindavan as a bird. I was reading Madhavananda's, one of his books. He first enters Vrindavan as a bird. He's the sister of Bakasura, isn't it? They're all deputed by Kams for killing Krishna, isn't it? She comes in as a bird. And actually the king of the Vindhya Mountains, which is off to the side of Braj, runs down into Gujarat area. He was wanting to have a daughter, this principle of wanting something greater than somebody else. He wanted to have a daughter who was more beautiful than he was the king of mountains also. So Himavan had one daughter, isn't it? More than one, three. Parvati, isn't it? Ganga, Uma. So Parvati in particular, this material energy, very beautiful personification of a daughter. So the king of Vindhya Mountains, he also had this feeling. It's common. For us, we can also go inside our own heart, we will find this envy principle. We want something that somebody else has. Yeah. Everybody has something. A bird can fly, a fish can swim. They're given certain potency by Krishna. And when we see that exaltation of quality, we want that. So the king of Vindhya Mountains, he wanted a daughter more beautiful, because this is Leela pastime. He wanted a daughter more beautiful than the Himalayas, Himavan. So it was arranged that the two daughters of Chandrabanu and Vrishabanu, they were transferred to the womb of the king of the Vindhya Mountains' wife. So Chandravali and Radharani, they grew up as sisters. And when Putana was coming by to go into Braj, she was coming and as a bird, and she was deputed to kill all the young children, but the girls she wouldn't kill, she would just carry to some distant place. So she picked up those two girls, Chandravali and Radharani, and the king, he got one of his priests to chant some mantras and caused trouble for Putana in his form of a bird. And she dropped them, and they landed in the river. So sometimes we hear Radharani comes in the river. Also we hear Chandravali, or some, and other Puranas is described, she floats down into even to Maharashtra. and takes birth as Rukmini. Anyway, it's a deep pastime. But the point is, Putana, she comes in, and then she takes the form of a very beautiful woman. Extremely beautiful. So beautiful that she bewilders. She bewilders the devotees. She bewilders even Mother Yashoda and Rohini. She comes right inside the association of devotees. And even great devotees, very difficult for them to work out who she is. We have to be very careful in our heart. What is our desire? If our desire is to be cheated, if we're chasing this profit, adoration, distinction in this world, then Lord Shiva, he can either liberate us, take us fast to Krishna as Vaishnava Yatapa Sambhu, or he's the manifestation of false ego. So he can also take us very fast away from Krishna. So they weren't able, because of the desire in the heart, a devotee may not be able to recognize a cheating guru. Our desire has to be very sincere. You know, first it comes from in our own heart. First when we start looking for guru, it's the Chaita guru in the heart. It's the Shiradakshai Vishnu Antijami in the heart. It's the first thing that responds. You know, by the grace of Krishna, one gets guru. So when our desire is sincere, according to that desire, we get sent a teacher according to what that desire is. But if our desire is covered by the false ego, ahanka and mamata, I am ahanta and mamata, I am and this is mine, then we get a guru which will help us with those things, even inside the association of devotees. This is the lesson of Putana. And she's killed by Krishna. So by reading about these pastimes, constantly, Baalila, then we remove all the unwanted anattas within the heart. Because we're not qualified to understand Nitya Lila. This is called Naimittik Lila. Naimittik Lila means Lilas that take place just intermittently. One part of Krishna's life. His Nitya Lila is his daily pastimes, 8 different times of the day. And every day he's doing those things, Nitya Lila. But we're not qualified to enter those exalted pastimes because it involves friendship, paternal ras, and conjugal ras. Therefore, by reading these pastimes of Baal Krishna slaying the demons, we remove the anattas in the heart. So Indra, he's a devotee of the Lord. He's got a big post. As soon as we get something in this world, isn't it? As soon as we, you know, in this age of Kali, a pauper is proud of his penny. As soon as we get wealth or beauty or knowledge or strength, any small amount of that in age of Kali, then we think this is mine. I am and this is mine. This is our disease. So we think that's mine. And then when we think like that, then there's no shantam richati. There's no sacrifice offered for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktaram jagatapasyam. And so all chaos breaks loose. Same in the sacrifice of Daksha we saw. And now Indra, he's wanting to, he's thinking my post will be usurped by Prithu. He's thinking I will lose my position up the pile. If he does 100 sacrifices, horse sacrifices, then I won't be number one. Number one. So, we all want to be number one, but actually, with Krishna, it's not like that.
Exactly.
Srimati Radharani is giving us the example herself. She is number one. But she gives us the example. She's pushing forward. She pushes the devotees forward. After you, after you. She's very soft-hearted. Vaishnava means soft-hearted. He's not this Matsarya, envy, lust. It forms a hard heart. But Vaishnava is soft-hearted. Prabhupada, a similar pastime comes up when Rukmi, the sister of Rukmini, excuse me, the brother of Rukmini. What time do we go to with the class?
8:45.
So the sister of, the brother of Rukmini, he also gets accosted by Krishna. This pastime where he gets embarrassed by Krishna and Krishna captures him. And then they shave off his, shave off part of his hair and part of his mustache. Very embarrassing for a kshatriya, for a warrior. And then they're going to kill him. And then Rukmini is her brother. And this is a natural quality of a female. Soft-heartedness. Not sentimental, necessarily sentimentalist, but soft-hearted. So our dealings with the Vaishnavas should be soft-hearted. So in this case, the demigods and those present exalted souls are saying, Lord Brahma approaches Indra, and the son of Prithu is going to kill Indra. And then, actually, Prithu himself. But then, Lord Brahma requests him, no, no, don't do this. He's a devotee of the Lord. Yes, he's got a big post. And so, he has a position to receive some part of the offering. In the sacrifice, then the demigods also take some havas. They take some offered quantities. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra. Prabhupada said that's part of the... So in the association of devotees, we also need to be very... This is a very instructive lesson. Because we'll find ourselves in similar situations by providence. Srila Prabhupada says, the great devotees of the Lord, they sometimes have everything taken off them. Hadi. Hadi means one who takes away. So sometimes the greatest devotees, they have everything taken away. Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? He had everything taken away. When everything was taken away and he just surrendered, Krishna, I'm yours. Let me dance, let me dance. I'm your puppet. Make me dance, make me dance. Then Draupadi also hanging on. We hold on because we think we're protecting ourselves, and the principle of that is our false ego. Of course, this is Leela stories. And when she lets go, then Sari comes fully. Even though she was only able to give a small amount for a hand that was bleeding in the kitchen, she gave some small amount of sari to bind Krishna's finger. She gave, we can only give a little bit to Krishna. We don't have so much. We're minute living entities. But if you give that little bit that we do have to Krishna, then he will send unlimited, unlimited wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge. The devotees, this is devotees, you see devotees. We so often see devotees with so much knowledge and so much renunciation and even wealth. Who is a more wealthy person than Srila Prabhupada? You know, Mr. Nair, is it Nair? Nair. He didn't understand who he was tackling here in Mumbai. He didn't realize that behind Srila Prabhupada was Bhagawan. He stood with his man And so Srila Prabhupada had all strength, and he fought him like a general. The devotees, they had to fight in one tin shed. You know this history more than me, where the government officials came and they tried to tear down that shed and stop the worship of Radharasa Bihari. They even grabbed hold of one devotee's hair, Madhaji, and dragged her. And Prabhupada stood and fought, isn't that? Because he had the empowerment of Krishna. Even he was a simple older devotee, you know, apparently looking like in an older man's body. But he was so strong, he stood and fought. So when we give whatever we have to Krishna, it's insignificant. You know, we don't have, and even that is given to us by Krishna. When we offer Ganga to Ganga, first we have to take the Ganga from Ganga, and then we offer back to Ganga. This is the greatest thing we can offer to her. So we take that which is given to us by Krishna, and we offer it to him and say, "My dear Lord, you have given me this. This knowledge or strength or fame or beauty, whatever it may be, whatever benediction we have, this ability to fly or to swim or to sing or to perform some nice arts or drama or to be a good Bhagavatam speaker or to be whatever. That little bit is coming from Krishna, and if we take that little bit and offer, then Krishna will send everything." So with Indra, he was that soft-heartedness of a Vaishnava that they said, well, he should actually, just by duty alone, and Maharishi Paritu, he showed the exact opposite. Indra, I mean, it was at his fingertips to perform 100 horse sacrifice. He was right there. Everything was provided. He didn't even have to struggle. No struggle. The demons struggle so hard to get what they get, and then they struggle to hang on to that. Because Hari, he takes away. And if he decides to take away, if you have hundreds of hands, you can't hang on to what he decides to take away. And if he wants to give, Srila Prabhupada says, you may have hundreds of hands, but you don't have the number of hands to receive what he's giving. This is the nature of Krishna. So, with Prithu, he just surrendered. By providence, if someone gets taken away, a great devotee gets something taken away, he sees this as the arrangement of the Lord. He sees this providence, this must be due to me. This, maybe I performed something in the past, maybe Parabdha Karma, maybe I deserve this. Or this might be the Lord's plan for a higher principle. Srila Prabhupada started the movement in Jhansi. Actually, first went to Delhi, started with his god brothers, "Can you help me?" And they said, no, they made it very difficult. In fact, some were envious also. Who is this Grihastha? You know, Bhaktisiddhanta said, in time he would do everything. So, he never got any help there. Then he went to Jhansi, and he got a fabulous building, and he started the League of Devotees as a society. And then one reason or another, some woman's group, they were managed to take that off him, so he failed. And then his failure seemed to be one after another. Even on board the Jaladuta, would seem like, what odds? Such great odds. Odds means, what a chance did he have of starting the Hare Krishna movement. Looking at it materially, it was a miracle. Two heart attacks, another setback, sickness at sea, and then, so his own family members, this is the way envy works. If you want to become a millionaire, they say, the first people that try and take it off you is your close family members. So his own god brothers, very few came forward to help. So even in the society of devotees, we see also somebody becomes exalted and we can try and take that off them. We're so fallen by nature. And then after that, in New York City, he struggled alone, struggling alone in the wilderness. That's what it was called, that chapter. So he took it all as providence. And somehow or another, he tried to go where the wealthy yogis were preaching in New York, where those people with money could, people were coming with wealth, and they had money. This is the principle. If we have something, it covers us with pride, another manifestation of lust. So those wealthy people, he couldn't establish this movement. And then finally everything was taken. And then he ended up on the Lower East Side. But that was the providence, amazing providence. He accepted the storefront, which is the size of a cumin seed. If you go there, some narrow little building. He accepted. And 2 weeks before he came there, the Pope, for the first time in human history, the Pope visited India. And I think on the streets of either Mumbai or Delhi, he was received and he took a tour here. And from there he flew to New York City. And in New York City, 1 week before Srila Prabhupada arrived, the Pope gave a talk on how we should learn from this great culture of India and its spirituality. And then Prabhupada, by providence, he was landed in, you know, the planting of the seed was amongst the hippie people. From the lowest of places, he was able to give the highest. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. Jiva Balabha, Krishna is Gopi Jana Balabha, whereas Lord Chaitanya is called Jiva Balabha, lover of all living entities. So he was representing the soft-heartedness of Srimati Radharani, and he was non-envious. Even some of his disciples, they decided to start their own movement in my part of the world, actually. One, Siddhaswarup, I think, he started the Hari Bol movement. And he became a big guru. He was a guru before he came. And even he was so adamant. And Prabhupada surrendered and said, all right, you start your own teachings, but the test is, if you want to start your own branch of the tree, good, go for it. But the test is, in your branch of the tree, the fruit has to taste the same. It comes off the same tree, so the fruit has to taste the same. He was non-envious. Even young boys, they challenged him. He was completely detached, non-envious. Great example of non-enviousness. So also Maharaj Prithu, he was non-envious. He surrendered and said, all right, for the sake of duty, whatever a great man does, common men will follow. So for the sake of duty, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just an ordinary soul. He was Shaktavesh, not Vishnu Tattva, he was Jiva Tattva, it's described. But he was Shaktavesh, empowered. But he was fully empowered. But he accepted. He said, all right, allow Indra, I won't do this last one sacrifice, just so he would keep peace amongst the association of devotees. So this is our lesson today, that as you stay in devotional life, you'll see some God brothers, you'll see some personalities, they'll go very fast and they'll gain a lot of skills. But our test is, we should push them up. We should give them all facility. We should glorify them. We should enhance them. We should give them what they require to go further. If you have some item and you have to push that up, we have to go up also. The more you push it up, the more you go up also. So this is what we should aspire for. To, when we see the qualities, we should glorify them, and that way Krishna becomes pleased and he will manifest his mercy. But the opposite to that is Vaishnava Parad, And that's the biggest disease of a living entity. This Vaishnava aparata, if we look inside, it's usually caused by this principle of envy. Why would we want to harm a Vaishnava? If we know that that would destroy our creeper, if we're letting the elephant out in the garden, if you keep a garden with some soft vegetables and you let an elephant out, is that a madman or what? You let an elephant out. So this Vaishnava aparata is the mad elephant defense. So the opposite to that is appreciation and glorification of the Vaishnavas. So, it's getting late. Thank you. I'm in an early category. I haven't fully realized these things. I'm also finding these things inside of me. When I'm preaching, I'm also finding them coming out, because we know actually inside our own heart. We can feel that. Other people may not be able to see that. Like, there's one bird called the buck, the crane, Bakasura, isn't it? He stands on one leg. Isn't it? I'm a bit like that. And everybody thinks he's a yogi. Look, he's standing on one leg. By the way he dresses, by the way he acts. And everyone thinks he's a great yogi, but inside he's just there to catch fish. This is a story from the animal stories of India. He's there to catch fish. That means he's looking for some adoration. He's looking for some fruitive result, some karma. He's looking for some prestige. Actually, inside he's a cheetah. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, better to be, and Bhagavad Gita also says, better to be an honest sweeper in the street than a charlatan. Better to be an honest sweeper in the street. If we're honest, like the prostitute and the Brahmin. Brahmin is viewing the prostitute from one side thinking, oh, so fallen. Look at the number of stones. She has a pile counting the customers. What a sinful person. That is his mentality. The Brahmin, higher caste, and the prostitute, very fallen. She's looking across the road at the Brahmin thinking, oh, if only I could be so saintly, if only I could be so wonderful as him. Yeah. But even in our own hearts, we can see that we'll actually have a favor for the underdog. Something that's even a lower form, but because of the honesty, then our heart is with the prostitute. And the Brahmin, regardless of his birth or his status, yeah. So better to be an honest sweeper in the street, das anudas, anudas. So I'm also aspiring for that. Thank you for giving me such a wonderful opportunity to speak in Mumbai. I'm just trying to catch up with your culture. I don't have the same training, but be merciful to me and give me your association. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions? Hare Krishna. Prabhu.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What do you think of the two, that is lust and envy, which is more dangerous for practice of Krishna consciousness?
Well, they're connected. They're connected, isn't it? But according to Bhagavad Gita, its origin is lust. The origin of envy is lust. Lust means to enjoy, to become the center of attention. And so envy is stemming from lust. If we're able to remove the roots of lust, then that envy will dissolve. If we go inside and find out why is it we're envious, then we'll find that is lust. And lust means trying to see ourselves adored and becoming the center of attention. And therefore, if something is higher than us, we'll remove it. We'll want to remove that so that we get that adoration and distinction. That would be my
addiction.
It's coming from lust. All is lust, greed and anger, isn't it? They begin with lust. Lust is the opposite of prime. Calm and prime. We want prime. We just have to turn out lust into prime. And these things will dissolve. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other questions or? It's a big project, isn't it? This is a big project. You know, we look for big projects in India, especially people want big projects. Well, our big project could be, isn't that my big project anyway? It's a big project to get these things out of the heart. So, have a big project. We can all have our big project. get these things out of the heart. Srila Prabhupada ki, Radha Rasa Vihari ki, Varnitaya ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki. Oh.